Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As the economy slows down and the stock market tumbles, many of you are probably watching your college fund nosedive with it. Well, guess what? Colleges themselves are also watching their investments take a hit. Good morning. David Cruz in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. University endowments are shrinking at the same time that costs continue to rise, affecting everything from maintenance and construction to faculty hiring and, of course, the amount of money left for financial aid. Joining us to discuss how colleges and universities are faring in this rough economic climate are Michael Dannenberg. He's a senior fellow in education policy at the New America Foundation and the man behind the Higher Ed Watch blog. Also with us is Catherine Bond Hill, president of Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York. Michael, welcome back to WNYC. And President Hill, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
So, President Hill, let's start with you. You recently wrote an open letter to the Vassar community on the economy. What are you seeing?
Well, we've gotten hit on a variety of fronts. We count on the endowment for about a third of our operating revenue every year. And we had a very small positive return last year, but September and October have been very tough. In addition, we count on giving from alums and friends, and clearly with the state of the economy, we're expecting that to be challenged next year as well.
Are you really down like $80 million?
In September, we had almost a 10% decline, and our endowment started the fiscal year at about 840, so yes. And I expect that when we have the final returns for October, it will be just as bad.
How close to the edge does that put you?
Well, thankfully, we started this with a nice endowment. So, the good news is that allows us not to count just on tuition revenue. But bad news is that when it goes down, it squeezes our budget. So we will have to look for ways to cut back on what we're doing.
So what do you do? What do you cut back? I noticed you're not hiring right now.
We about two-thirds of our budget is compensation. So when you go to try to control the budget, you have to look partly at compensation. So we've taken advantage of vacancies on both the faculty and the staff side to not fill them and ask, are these positions that we can do without for a while or for longer?
All right. I'll ask you the same question that Bob Schieffer asked Obama and McCain during the presidential debates. How do you prioritize? List what's staying and what's going in order.
We are doing everything we can to protect financial aid. That makes it possible for us to recruit the best and most interesting students, regardless of their family income. So we're doing everything we can to protect that. Our core mission is to educate our students, so we are really focusing on making sure that the curriculum stays strong and meets our students' needs. And we have lots of wonderful other things that we offer our students and our faculty and staff, and those are the places where we're trying to save money.
All right, Michael, for the average student at a university like Vassar, putting aside their personal financial situation, how does the economic crisis manifest itself in terms of what the university is able to offer them?
Well, I think the big effect we're going to see for students is that universities are going to and are already starting to cut back on course offerings. That's a function of layoffs or furloughs and so forth. And as course offerings are cut back, it becomes more difficult to graduate on time, as any student knows who's struggled to fill out a schedule and make sure that they graduate on time. So I'm concerned about course offerings, and I'm also concerned about financial aid. What's happening at Vassar and is happening at other institutions is that schools want to protect their cumulative amount of financial aid, but they're going to probably change their mix of financial aid. How much goes to so-called merit-based aid and how much goes to need-based aid? Now, I think it's better for more financial aid to go to needy students as opposed to those who are high-achieving and not needy. I want to help people who are needy and people who are high-achieving and needy. So I expect the mix to change in financial aid.
Michael Dannenberg is a senior fellow in education policy at the New America Foundation and the man behind the Higher Ed Watch blog. President Hill, does that sound about right?
I think as you cut down on certainly on faculty, that translates directly into a reduction in course offerings. But I think there are things that you can do to mitigate that and hopefully help students be able to meet their requirements.
What about that financial aid mix that Michael
on the financial
about?
Aid mix, I think that's absolutely right. At some schools, at Vassar, we only offer need-based aid. So we don't have the ability to switch from merit to need-based. But other schools do. And I think at this point in time, that is absolutely something that they should do, is move from merit to need.
David, if I could jump in. Vassar is an exceptional school, and I want to emphasize this. It's a relatively wealthy school. Its endowment was approaching about $1 billion, although it's taken some big hits. And on a per-student basis, it's very, very high. There are over 4,000 institutions of higher education. About 900 are private. The vast majority of students are going to public institutions. And these students, I think, increasingly are going to face serious increases in tuition. Because when the institutions are squeezed, when their non-tuition revenue goes down, endowment revenue, fundraising, and most importantly for public institutions, state aid, inevitably they will cut back on some small things here and there, and they'll do layoffs, and they'll do course selection offerings, pullbacks, they'll suspend capital construction. But ultimately, the big driver is tuition, and tuition is going to go up a lot, particularly at publics, but also at a lot of private institutions.
You expect that that's going to happen over at Vassar, President Hill?
I think we will see moderate increases in tuition, just given what's going on in the economy. I think we'll see significant increases in financial aid. But as Michael said, we really have the luxury of starting from a fairly strong position of a good endowment per student. I completely agree. Most students are being educated in the public sector. And with state revenues taking big hits, transfers from the state to public higher education will go down. And the only solution is to either raise tuition, cut financial aid, or significantly erode quality.
You also, President Hill, have a PhD in economics. So you're pretty lucky to have chosen that field, huh? Did you expect that the job of college president was going to be so fiscal intensive?
I guess I did on some level. Mm-hmm. It's an organization. Higher education is an interesting financial sector, and it's certainly an area that I find very interesting.
You wrote a piece this past April for the Chronicle of Higher Education in which you highlighted that financial aid packages are booming at many top universities. Stanford announced that families with incomes under $100,000 wouldn't have to pay tuition at all, and Vassar implemented new restrictions or new structures for families making $60,000 or $70,000. A lot has changed since April, hasn't it? And are these financial aid packages sustainable?
I hope they are, but we'll see. It depends a little bit on how the economy plays out over the next two, 3 years. I do think that a lot of those policies, many of them were aimed at significantly increasing financial aid for the least wealthy in our society, and I think those were good changes, and I hope that we can sustain them. I think there was also strategic moves at the very wealthy schools to compete with the prices at selective publics as a way of trying to attract more of those students to come to the private sector. Whether they'll be sustainable, I think, is a question.
Still open to debate.
David, yeah. If I could jump in here. I mentioned that there are sort of three sectors. There are the super elite privates, that are very wealthy, the Harvards, the Yales, and so forth. And they've all said that they're going to maintain these more generous financial aid packages. Then there is a large body of private institutions that don't have a great deal of resources and are very tuition dependent. And I expect a mix of financial aid to change there. And then there are the public institutions. You're going to see a lot of trading down, for lack of a better word, from private institutions that are not super elite, but private institutions to public institutions because they're cheaper. SUNY Binghamton, for example,
trading down on price, on part
of students. SUNY Binghamton, for example, which is an excellent public institution, has seen a 50% increase in its applications over this time last year. So there's a potential enrollment boom at the public institutions, and those folks are desperately scared because they're seeing state funding cut. You're having places like Cal State threaten to cap their admissions. They've already moved up their admissions deadline. They're threatening to have less students next year if state funding doesn't grow. So the selectivity of these public institutions, particularly the flagships, is going to increase as the economy continues to work through its problems.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and WNYC.org. We're talking with Michael Dannenberg, who's a senior fellow in education policy at the New American Foundation, and Catherine Bond Hill, who's the president of Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York. We can take some of your calls right now at 212-433-9692. Parents with kids in high school who are looking to send your children to school, what do you think about all this? Our number here is 212-433-WNYC. Are you confident or less confident that your child is going to be able, or that you're going to be able, to afford college for your child? President Hill, what's the future of so-called need-blind policies, where students admitted first and then the university figures out how to provide the appropriate financial aid after?
Right. Well, I think the super elite with the large endowments will stay committed to that absolutely as long as they can. In fact, several schools, including Vassar, returned to that this decade in response to high returns on our endowments. Now, clearly, what's happened in the markets are going to challenge institutions on the margin, whether they can afford it or not. Again, we'll stay committed to it absolutely as long as we can. But that's a handful of the schools. Michael mentioned there are about 4,500 institutions of higher education. It's only about 30 that are need-blind in the admissions process.
Yeah. What kind of investments has the university made over the past 10 or 15 years when things were going a little better?
I think lots of schools, including Vassar, have invested in the physical plant. That's not a bad thing, because when bad times hit, you can slow down on that mm-hmm. and essentially take advantage of the investments you've made in the past. But I think there's also been a big increase in financial aid to attract students, and there's been a growth in faculty.
Thanks, David. With respect to these capital expenditures, which have been very significant and I think have had an impact on tuition, this is one of the things that scares me going forward, because a lot of institutions, an unknown number, have relied on variable rate bonds, and their borrowing costs are going up. Their insurance costs are going up. Colleges are huge insurers, staff and so forth. You know, AIG was an underwriter for these guys. So their insurance costs are going up. So you're seeing colleges increasingly squeezed. Their non-tuition revenue is going down. Endowments are going down. Fundraising is more difficult. And their costs are going up, their borrowing costs, their insurance costs. And as they are squeezed, ultimately, students will get squeezed.
Let's get a call in here. Assemblywoman Deborah Glick from New York is on the line. Assemblywoman, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that the current structure of the proposals presented by the governor are somewhat daunting. In these difficult times, if we're not going to raise any taxes, then raising tuition is essentially a tax on students and their families, particularly true in this city and state university systems, where certainly for SUNY, the governor's folks have made it clear that 90% of the increase in tuition will be essentially replacing a reduction in state support. So
Assemblywoman,
they're going to get 10 cents on the dollar out of that tuition increase.
Are you advocating then an increase in taxes to target colleges and universities?
No, we have something called a tax stabilization reserve fund, which when there is an unexpected drop in revenues, tax revenues, that is a rainy day fund for this purpose. And I believe there's over $1 billion in that. So in terms of this last quarter shortfall, some discussion should be had around that stabilization fund being utilized to mitigate some of the cuts that we'll have to make. And I also think that if we're going to ask students to pay more in tuition, then they should actually be seeing some investment on their campuses in full-time faculty, and they should be, if they're paying that much more, they should actually be getting something for it, not just paying more for the same thing.
All right, Assemblywoman, thank you very much for your call. Michael, what's the story like at public colleges and universities?
Well, New York is kind of the canary in a coal mine. What we're seeing here, as the Assemblywoman referenced, the governor has proposed a pretty sizable cut to CUNY and SUNY, and he's proposed 15% increases in tuition going forward. The same thing is happening in Florida, California, and states across the country. And it's because states have balanced budget requirements as per their state constitutions. They have really very little in the way of choices when revenue comes in short. The economy goes bad, revenue comes in short. They have to either raise taxes or cut spending. A major area of spending is higher education. They figure they can cut higher education because the students can borrow more to pay for higher tuition that comes. So you have increases in tuition, increase in student debt, and as I mentioned earlier, I think an increase in stratification, because we're going to see more students who are very wealthy going to wealthy private schools and more students who are working class, middle income, low income, going to public colleges and universities. And I think that's bad for higher education overall.
So inevitable that states like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut are going to have to increase taxes to keep these universities going, no? And adding that on top of tuition increases, no?
I'm not saying it's inevitable they have to increase taxes. I'm saying that it's inevitable that they have to balance their budgets unless they are going to change their state constitutions. And they have a variety of options to do this. But in past recessions, what we have seen is marked spikes in tuition. And in fact, it's kind of a lagging indicator because revenue comes in short, then the cuts come in state funding, then tuition increases. So I expect 2 years from now is when we'll see even bigger hikes in tuition.
President Hill, how much interaction is there between private institutions like Vassar and public colleges and universities? Or do you function on different planes?
Well, I think we certainly pay attention to what's going on in both parts of the sector, but there's certainly more discussion amongst the privates about how things are going, and I would assume also amongst the publics. I would like to just add, in response to Michael's comment, you know, education is something that as a nation we just need to be investing in, and we need to figure out a way to actually allocate more resources to it and to use them efficiently. And so that's one thing that I just think we as a nation need to devote more resources to it. And we also have to figure out a way for not having it be so cyclically driven, because it's just crazy for some generations of students to get hammered because they happen to be going to college during a recession. We know recessions are going to come and go. Hopefully this one will also go. But you don't want this cohort of students to pay the price for this recession. So figuring out some way to smooth allocations to public higher education would be, I think, an important public policy objective for us.
All right, let me get a call in here. Mary is in Greenwich Village. Mary, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have two things I want to say. Not only did she just say this set of students that are entering college now, not only do we have the recession to deal with, but it's also a baby boom, huge amount of kids going in. So it's like one of the largest student populations
classes
we also have to deal with.
Right.
So not only that, what is anybody doing about the poor middle-class people who just got their 529s wiped out, they did the right thing, they saved for college when the kid was born, and now not only is their investment of their profits, but now the principal was wiped out too. What are we supposed to do? And why doesn't New York State, the governor, he wants to raise the tuition on all these SUNY and CUNY schools. Why doesn't he raise the out-of-state tuition? New York State has the lowest out-of-state tuition of all of the states. It's like we let them in for free. But my daughter wants to go to school in Massachusetts. I have to pay, you know, extra. We don't have any deals with anybody in New York State. New England, they all reciprocate. What does New York State do? Nothing.
All right, Mary, let me have our panelists answer this question. What about that?
Well, first of all, the call is right about the spike in enrollment, and I would add that enrollment's going to go up even more because of the economy. The opportunity cost of not going to school has gone down. So more people are going to be going to school because there are less options out of school, plus they're going to be going back to college to get skills in order to get jobs in a more competitive market. With respect to the 529 reduction, I think the caller's right as well. We've seen a lot of middle-income families get hit hard.
What's a 529?
I'm sorry. 529, for those who don't know, is a tax-preferred savings account. It's named after part of the Internal Revenue Code, and contributions to 529 accounts grow tax-free and can be withdrawn if they're withdrawn for a qualified tuition fee, other expenses for college, taxes never accrue. There are two answers with respect to 529s. First is there is a proposal on the table to help middle-class families. You know, President-elect Obama has made a centerpiece of his campaign a refundable $4,000 tuition tax credit. That's a sizable amount of money for most public colleges and universities in the country, less so the privates, which are much more expensive. But nevertheless, that's on the table, and I think that's a top priority of the incoming Obama administration. The second thing is that families out there who do have these so-called 529 accounts, is really when you, it's just like retirement. As you get closer to retirement age, you should be shifting to safer investments. The same thing happens with your children. As they get closer to school age, you want to shift to safer investments. But for those families who have been wiped out, if they, hopefully they have a long-term time horizon, but if they don't, then they're going to have to consider other educational options in all likelihood,
yeah.
Because I mean,
if you've been saving to send your child to school now and you've been wiped out, I mean, that's a total radical change that you're going to have to undergo.
That's right. But public institutions generally continue to be a pretty good deal. I mean, we look at sticker price a lot, but folks have to think about financial aid, and there is a dramatic reduction in net price for families as opposed to sticker price. So do not be discouraged in applying for college and applying for financial aid. You'll be very surprised in what you get in most cases.
All right, let me get 30 seconds from each of you. First, you, President Hill, what do you expect from an Obama administration? Good or bad for Vassar?
I think good. The best thing he could do would be to get us out of this recession as quickly as possible and ease up credit markets.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So what about you, Michael? Optimistic?
Well, I'm optimistic that the president-elect is going to attack college affordability from the standpoint of financial aid. I'm not optimistic that there are many answers that he's proposed and or will propose to clamp down on rapid growth in tuition, and that scares me a lot.
All right. Thanks to Michael Dannenberg, who's the Senior Fellow in Education Policy at the New America Foundation and the man behind the Higher Ed Watch blog, and Catherine Bond Hill, who's the president of Vassar College in Poughkeepsie. Thanks very much to both of you. David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and WNYC.org. Coming up, how New Yorkers are trying to make a quick buck in Dubai.